Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, here we go on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is Monday, the Boomer and Geo program. Built Ford Tub Studio, the number to get in, 888-808-1019. Is the phone number, and there is so much to get to. We will get to football this coming morning. We will get to the Knicks this coming morning. We'll get to your phone calls over the next 4 hours as well, but we will start with college basketball and the Rangers, I'm sure, at some point today as well, because the guy to my right kind of likes those guys. What's up, Boomer Esiason? Good morning.
Hey, good morning there, Jerry. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Right on. You
got
too.
We got a big parade in the city today, and hopefully it's not going to rain too much and too hard, but yeah, huge celebration. Everybody will be out, enjoying the day and reflecting on their past year, and as I wear green here today, I feel akin to my Irish friends.
Nice, good for you.
This morning as I wake up, and then I think about my Italian friends, well, in particular, Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
Who took his team to a number two seed, and what a dominating performance in the Big East.
I mean, well deserved.
I mean, they were awesome, and the defense is just relentless, and that's all anybody can talk about when it comes to St. John's is pretty much their three-point shooting and their free throw shooting. And if you watch any college basketball this weekend like I did, there's a lot of teams that can't shoot threes.
A lot of teams.
And there's a lot of teams that can't shoot free throws. So they're like right in the middle of that. But there are very few teams, and I mean very few teams, that are as relentless as these kids are.
Yeah, Houston. That might be it.
Yeah, and Houston averages 23 years of age. But when you look at St. John's, I mean, we talked to Brandon Tierney last week before the Big East tournament started, and I was wondering whether or not they could get all the way up to a one seed. And then you see Auburn lose in the SEC, which, by the way, that SEC tournament was crazy.
Yeah,
and my University of Maryland
got a four seed.
Yeah, but we got to go to Seattle. I mean, they always send us out west, and then you got UCLA coming back east. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, yeah,
keep these teams in their region so the fans can go and actually watch them play.
Well, you do at least have St. John's and Providence, which is not so far.
I'm saying that's great for St. John's.
9:45 p.m.
Oh. I know, but it's great for St. John's. But I'm like, why is Maryland going west? Why is UCLA coming east? I mean, what are these people thinking about?
I think it's a little more. You know the NFL scheduling, how hard it is. I think this is a little more difficult than you make it, but I know
why
what you're saying.
Is it? I speak for all of us great Maryland fans. Why is it that we always get sent out west?
I don't know.
Always.
I don't know.
It's crazy. I don't know how many times this has happened, but I feel like every year, the one year that they won this, the NCAA championship back in the early 2000s, I remember going up to Syracuse and watching them play. I think it was UConn, and it was great. You know, at least, you know, you could get there. I mean, I'm not going to Seattle.
No, I wouldn't think you would be. No,
it's ridiculous.
But you also
college basketball thing is just like so goofy. I love the game. The game is awesome. The game is 40 minutes of fury, like the great, I think it was Nolan Richardson used to call it that, I think. But you watch these games, how much it means to the kids. And of course, all the, you know, the conference tournaments are all sold out and just insane. And, you know, and that's what you want. That's why it's one of the best sporting events of the year is, you know, leading into this. And we get going with the first four in, but I don't know.
The way they lost that game to Michigan, and the fact that Michigan won the Big Ten tournament is mind-blowing to me.
Talk about Maryland.
The loss that they had to Michigan.
I hate Michigan.
We lost to Michigan State, and we lost to Michigan. It's everything the announcers were telling you couldn't happen on that play happened. But they had a great season. They've got a chance to make a bit of a run. I know they're in Seattle. But you know what? The first two rounds of this tournament are never, ever attended. They're just not. When you look at the noon games on Thursday, the buildings are half empty, just like most of the it's really when you get going into the Sweet 16 is when the stadiums and the arenas get packed.
Maybe I'm just very sensitive to
Jerry.
I can be very sensitive to this. But I thought, and maybe in most cases, I haven't really perused over the entire bracket.
Right.
And I was watching the guys doing it yesterday on CBS as they were unveiling it. But I don't know why. Maybe just me. Maybe I'm just overly sensitive about this whole thing. But you would think that you'd like to keep teams within 100 miles of their home city, your college city, if you could.
Man, but you can't keep both. I mean, that usually is the problem. And I do think the higher seed should be.
UCLA and Seattle.
Again, I don't know how they do this.
And then I think that final, I think, is in L.A. That conference final or that bracket finals in L.A., I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't tell because nobody has where everybody's playing.
We have
ESPN
to
brackets.
I'm gonna print the bracket out.
Yeah, well, I'm on the ESPN bracket. It doesn't tell me where anybody's playing. It just tells me what time and what TV station it's on or TV network.
I'd like to go back to one thing you said about St. John's, though, because when you look at this team, the one thing you point out was the three-point shooting and the free-throw shooting. I don't think anybody is...
It's in San Francisco. That's where that final is. Yeah, great. Perfect. Can't wait to go there. Now it's better.
I don't think anybody's criticizing it to the fact of they're bad at it. I think what people are saying is...
That's just their weakness.
If they are going to get tripped up, it's going to be because of that. The fact of the matter is they are so good defensively, they're going to be in every game, no matter who they play, where they play it. And I forget what ex-coach it was last night was talking about how good they are and why he believes they're at least a Final Four team. And that's because of the style of play that they do give you for 40 minutes every game. They basically wear you down. In the last 5 minutes of a game, you almost feel like you have no chance because they're so much physically fitter than the other team, and they beat you up. So I think the question would be, is there a big three late in the game or a big free throw? I think people are more looking to that as that if anything is going to knock them out or trip them up, it would be that. That's all. Every team's got their weaknesses.
You know, I was on that golf trip in the Dominican Republic last week, and one of the guys on that trip is a huge basketball fan, loves St. John's. And he says to me, he goes, I don't bet on them to start the game. I don't bet until the second half starts.
When they're down.
Yeah. Because they always come back, and they have always come back, at least in, you know, generally speaking,
well,
I guess.
Well, they lost four games by 7 points.
Exactly. So he was right on this week.
Well, how about the Marquette game? Marquette was in control of that game early. Things are, and I think it was Cam Jones. He's got 13 of their first 20 points. He's hitting three after three and making great plays to the basket. And St. John's, I don't want to say they look stunned, but they couldn't figure it out offensively. And then all of a sudden, slowly, methodically, late in that first half, they started coming back. And as soon, you know, a lot of teams, you've watched basketball a long time. A lot of times when a team comes back from double digits, it's almost like they expended so much energy to get back. Can they finish the job?
Yeah.
For St. John's, once they got that game even, I said to them, I'm watching the game, my wife and my son, I'm like, this game's over.
Yeah.
The game's over. And they clobbered them in the second half.
You know, this is why when you compare college basketball to the NBA, there's no comparison. I mean, the guys could shoot in the NBA, and they do shoot, and they shoot a lot of threes. Boston just chucks it up from all over the place.
For sure.
And it's not fun to watch. I mean, when you watch St. John's, you know, because they do have trouble shooting threes, they still shoot them, but they don't shoot them nearly as much as everybody else does. They get a lot of open baskets, like on double screens, backdoor plays. I mean, on offense, I mean, their mid-range game and underneath
as the hoop good as anybody. Is,
well, might be the best.
I agree.
I mean, and, you know, the way they run their plays and how they are synced up really well. I mean, that's a credit to Coach Pitino, of course, and then, of course, the players. But they do play a relentless style, and that's the thing. I mean, they just outwork everybody.
They do, and as we say, sometimes it's very difficult for the other team even to penetrate past their first line of defense to even get in to get a shot off. Will be interesting, too, to see when I watch a lot of the experts talk about this, how the games are officiated. Because if you're not going to let them play that aggressive physical style, the Big East did. How will they officiate it in these games in the end? Because that could be a big determination, too, in what happens.
You're right. And I hope that watching the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big East, watching those games, they let them play.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And they let them play fast and furious. There were a couple of non-calls in this Michigan-Wisconsin game yesterday.
So I don't know. You mentioned the three-point shot.
How is Maryland not winning the Big Ten championship?
How about the fact that at one point,
unbelievable,
Wisconsin and Michigan at one point were a combined 13 for 62 from three.
Brutal!
I think it was with like 16 minutes to go in the game. I think it was 25-21. I mean, you want to talk about a bad game to watch. And you're right. Maryland should have been there. Hey,
Jerry,
they blew the game in Michigan.
Jerry, you remember that loss that we had at home to Michigan State?
Yeah.
Guy shoots the ball.
Yes.
And then it's the three-quarter shot and it goes
in. Because then you blame me for Rutgers then losing to Michigan.
Exactly.
Right.
And then we play Michigan and the same kind of nonsense happened. Guy goes the full length of the court. And I'm like, can somebody, I don't know, just stand in front of him?
I will tell you, though. Having watched enough of these games,
yes.
Yeah, you're right. Stand in front of them. And I, it's funny. I'm sure they were in the bonus. I don't really remember. I'm sure they were. When a guy gets ahead of steam with the way they call these games,
yeah.
If you make any contact with him, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have done better. They should have, for sure, and got him to give up the ball or not allowed him to get the ball. What do you want him to do?
If you go
out and stand in front of them, you're either going to take a block, maybe you get the charge. If you make any contact, they're going to blow the whistle.
You know what I loved? Actually, the play called by Michigan, the way that they ran their inbound play from the end line was really great. The thing that you see is that sometimes in these games, in these college games, when teams like St. John's are pressing,
mm-hmm.
it's impossible to get the ball in.
A lot of times. So if you, I know you didn't watch it, but the Rutgers, who were playing? USC, the Big Ten tournament. Rutgers got down 15, and then Pikul went to the press because he needed to. But you can't do it for a whole game. They did it for like 7-8 minutes, and I think they turned USC over six times in those 7 minutes.
You know why? Because you can't practice against it. I mean, you can't
replicate how teams are going to do it.
Yeah,
right?
Because your starters are going against the backups that very rarely play in college basketball for a lot of these teams. And there's no way to replicate the length, the quickness, the intensity that St. John's brings.
Yeah, or the emotion of the arena and what's going on. There's no question about it.
You could think you're practicing against it, and you better hope that you have about three or four different inbounds plays when you need to get the ball inbounds. But it's amazing to me just how many teams struggle in that situation.
No doubt. Now, I'm not going to sit here. There's no chance we're going to sit here for 4 hours or even 4 minutes and break down the bracket. We're not going to do that.
But what they did yesterday. They did it on CBS.
They did
it on ESPN. They did it.
But I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Because the big story, and I was watching it live, and I had the same questions as they were going over it. They're showing, you know, is North Carolina going to get in? No, they're not going to get in. They lost
their
game again.
They're North Carolina. They always get in.
You've got West Virginia and Indiana and all the, you know, you had Seth Davis and Clark Kellogg, and they're on CBS and Jay Wright. They're sitting there doing the show, and they're going over these. If I hear the word quad one more time, I might want
quad
I
one,
might,
quad
I might,
two, and quad three, Jerry.
I might Juan Soto you again today.
Yeah, but I think you know, North Carolina had a good quad two schedule.
Who cares? That they were
Al, you know what a quad two is, Al?
Well, I know quad means four, but beyond that, I don't know.
Jerry, you're the college basketball expert. Explain to him what
quad is. Well, the quad one wins are against the best teams, the top-level teams that you're going to play. Quad two would be that next level. So that's how it goes, from one down to, I think, four.
So North Carolina was the best of the worst. They were like 24-1 between quad two and quad four.
But they were 1-13 against good, the quad one competition. Again, quad.
And the guy that runs the bracket, isn't he like a North Carolina AD?
So that's... There's the issue.
Oh.
He's the chairman of the selection committee.
What are you saying about him?
Here's what I'm going to say. So they also had the vice chairman on with him. Now, before the guys... There's a vice chairman. Before the guys talked to
Sounds
them...
Sounds like NATO.
Yes. Before they talked to them,
yeah,
they sat there and said, we have questions. They brought up Indiana's resume. I need to know this. How come they got in over them because of this? Blah, 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 blah. So then they have them on. And the chairman, who is the North Carolina athletic director, says, well, I had to recuse myself. I'll let the vice chairman tell us how it worked. And he says, yes, he was out of the room. We can't allow it because blah, blah.
Well, so I believe that. I mean, if the vice chairman of the NCAA, or whatever they call this, March Madness, the NCAA runs it. It's the one place that they actually make money. You have to believe the vice chairman, don't you?
You can believe him. My question is, Seth Davis, Clark, they're fantastic. But when you sit there and break down how...
Wait, hold on, that's with the fantastics.
They are. They're very good at what they do with this
stuff. Davis, you know, he could be a tough egg sometimes.
Fine. When you sit there and break down how
lovingly, by the way,
Indiana and West Virginia should be in over North Carolina, and then you have them on and you ask why, and they just give you this whole nonsense about quad 2, 8-0, and there is no follow-up or mention of Indiana. As they just sat there and gushed how Indiana should be in, they don't follow up with, but what about Indiana and their quad? It doesn't make sense.
They have a finite amount of time.
Yeah, well, they should have spent it on that then.
I understand that. And then it would have been screaming back and forth about Indiana and North Carolina. But like I said,
you want an answer, no?
The vice chairman said the chairman had to recuse himself and leave the room.
I understand.
Do you think that the vice chairman and everybody else had like a soft place in their heart for the chairman?
100%.
So they had a bias because they've been working with him?
Yes, I do. I don't know that, but that would be my feeling. And I would have liked someone to ask a follow-up. Fine, got your answer. But look at all of these, these two teams did. How in the world are they in? And I personally don't care about this. I don't care about North Carolina. But it is a fair question to ask if you're doing that interview with them.
Hey, but Jerry, you're a college basketball guy. You call games. I mean, don't we go through this every year?
No, we don't usually have the chairman of this, be the athletic director of a team that got in over two teams that deserve more so.
Don't we go through like the first four in, the first four out?
And, well, I'm not going to do that. Nor
Coach
are you
Winardi and all. I mean, like, but I'm just like every year is the same thing. Somebody's getting screwed. You know that, and
yes,
I know that.
And
I understand what you're saying. You're saying that the vice chair was basically telling you that they removed the chairman from the discussion when it came to North Carolina.
Correct.
But you believe that there was a bias to support the chairman when he left the room. And everybody said, he's a nice guy. Let's put North Carolina in.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
It's human nature. I don't know how you wouldn't. You've worked with him. You've been around him. And when push comes to shove, they gave the nod to North Carolina. And to me,
I would have liked to see another Big Ten team in there because the Big Ten had an unbelievable season. They got a lot of good teams. Not as good as the SEC, of course.
14 teams.
Which is ridiculous with all-time record, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
But that's where we're at. So TV has it up. CBS Sports Network, 14 for the SEC, 8 for the Big Ten, 7 for the Big 12. And the Big East got 5. So there you have it. Everything will kick off Thursday. I know it's not that big a deal, but I
thought everything kicks off Wednesday.
Well, that's the play-in stuff, sure.
Well, that kicks off
Tuesday and Wednesday, actually.
Tuesday and Wednesday. Well, there you go.
Two games Tuesday, two games Wednesday.
It's not just Thursday, but it's Tuesday and Wednesday.
I might murder you today. You are like you are shot out of a cannon on a Monday morning.
You know why, man? I'm telling you, it's an exciting sporting event. What can I tell you?
It is an exciting sporting event.
Yes.
And you are a little unique today. Wearing your green. Yeah. I celebrated St. Patrick's Day on Saturday, for the record.
You did?
I actually forgot today was St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, I wore green. I brought Heineken because the can was green. I was all into it. I thought that was pretty good. I figured, so we were at my friend's house, the Mulaney house, on Saturday night.
Oh, there you go. The Mulaney's.
So I figured he had the Irish beer on lockdown, which he did.
Yep.
So I figured bringing something a little different. Green Heineken's.
Huh.
Look good
idea on your part.
That was pretty good.
The German beer you're bringing to St. Patty's Day.
Green can.
Good job.
I would bring some Guinness.
You got to bring some Guinness.
They had all of that.
Tell them more, dude.
I knew they would have that.
Okay.
I brought the Heineken.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
All right, 25 after 6. Nice to have you with us. Bill Fortuff Studio. It is the Boomer and Geo program.
You know, Jerry and CeeLo, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I feel great.
Full of energy, I can tell.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't I be? It's Monday morning. It's raining. It's St. Paddy's Day.
Well, raining. Rangers lost.
Whatever. You know,
sometimes
I mean, the Rangers lost, but if they continue to play this way, I'll be happy with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got Skinner last night.
Yeah.
The guy played his ass off.
We can't say that about every goalie that comes
every
in.
Every goalie that comes in the Madison Square Garden, you know it.
Got to figure it out.
Yeah, a couple of mistakes here and there, and, you know, what can you do? I mean, here's the thing. We got, what, 14 games left?
Yes.
All right. Go 10-4.
Okay.
All right.
And haven't won 3 in a row since November, so.
Are you such a negative
Nelly? No, I'm just saying, like, you know, let's kick it in gear here.
Negative.
You know, I agree they're playing better hockey.
Yes.
But because of what happened in late November through the early stages of January, they don't really have much of a margin for error right now.
And, of course, Connor McDavid has one shot on goal.
Yeah, and it's in the net.
In. I mean, it's like, whether it be LeBron, Connor, you know, Steph Curry, you go to the Garden.
Yeah.
You got to make your name known.
Stars perform.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll go after him in free agency next year.
All right.
Hey, you know, there's a chance that St. John's and Maryland could meet in the Western bracket final.
There's a chance, yes.
Chance.
Two East Coast teams playing out in San Francisco.
That'd be great.
Make the trip?
No.
No.
San Francisco? Hell no. Place smells like urine.
Oh, boy.
Have you been there?
Of course I have.
Horrendous.
Many times. Well, I haven't been there since the Super Bowl with you guys, and that was not
and
good.
That was at the beginning of the downfall. Yeah.
That was
and
not good?
No.
That was
February of 16? So that was 8 years ago.
Yeah, and it was
nine
not.
Years ago.
It was bad.
Oh, it was brutal.
Not
was
as bad as what brutal. I've been told it is now,
huh.
But it was not good.
Well, Gunnar went out there, 3 weeks ago, and he was telling me, he goes, it's rough.
And that really sucks because it's a great city. But unfortunate. Chris, what do you got?
Hi, good morning. Brought to you by Dr. Jay Shaw at Samwell Pain Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com We're just going to start here before we get into some of the basketball stuff in St. John's from Saturday, just because it was like 11 o'clock last night, I think. The news came down about Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, so the Bengals getting it done with both guys, which they know they've talked about wanting to do. So for Chase, 4 years, $161 million, 112 guaranteed. He becomes the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, and Higgins gets 4 years, $115 million. He has guarantees in the first 2 years. I thought this was interesting the way they worded it. He's now the highest paid number two in history. Like,
yeah,
I mean, how are we differentiating ones and twos?
Well, I mean, because they're on the same team and one's getting paid more than the other. That's probably the best way to do it.
Okay, but for their team, yes. Yeah. But what about for the rest, like in the history of number two?
Just making crap up.
Yes, that's kind of what I was getting at, Jerry.
This is the first time that they've really been in a situation like this. But, you know, the thing about it is, unfortunately for T. Higgins, if he would have been on the open market, I do believe he would have gotten more money.
Okay.
And he ended up settling. I'm not saying he's not doing all right, but, you know, for some reason, you know, as a second round draft choice, they franchised him last year. He made $21 million last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to make a lot of money. I'm not saying he's not.
Yes.
But, and I know Joe Burrow wanted both of these guys to stay. Yeah. And now,
a lot of money tied up in those three guys.
The Bengals defense, they're spending $79 million on defense.
Yeah.
And you just gave basically, what, $70 million to two wide receivers.
Plus Burrow's money. They were just flashing it. Those three will count for about $115 million. It's a lot.
Better win games, 52-45.
Well, that's basically what they had to do last year.
I will say this, and I give Joe Burrow a lot of credit for making this happen, because he basically told the team he wants to keep these guys together. Now they're going to have to win the games, you know, 31-28. Good luck.
Every week.
You saw what Philadelphia did to Kansas City. And you saw what Lou Anarumo for years was able to do to Kansas City as the defense coordinator of the Bengals. He's no longer there.
Yeah.
Oof.
Mm. All right. Well, college basketball-wise, I know you guys were breaking down the field and the brackets, so on and so forth. As far as Duke is concerned, sounds like they're hoping Cooper Flagg will be able to, but that'll be against...
So they took that into consideration. The committee basically said that Duke told the committee that Cooper Flagg would be able to play, and that influenced where they're going.
You know what? Whether it influences or not, they've earned it, honestly.
I'm not saying they haven't earned it, but, like, I didn't realize that if he didn't play, would they get...
They should still be a one.
They should still be a one?
I mean, I understand he was a huge part of it, but they earned it. They played a great 30-whatever games. They should be
a one. Yeah, but if he's hurt, they should have sent them out to, like, Seattle or something.
Well, they could have done that, and so they get to play in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, they will
right
get
in their backyard, of
good luck to American or Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, well, for American and Mount St. Mary's, it's going to be about their first four-game in Dayton, obviously.
Can you guys tell me, actually, how they do this whole thing?
No.
Like, so St. John's is playing in Providence, but they're in the Western bracket.
Yes. The first and second round sites are irrelevant as compared to which bracket you're in regionally. The regional semifinal and final are the host sites for the second week of the tournament.
Oh, look. I think Al's head just exploded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poof.
I gave Al a lot of credit because I thought he jammed in like 50 things to you right there at the end of your little segment.
Well, that's sort of that's what's left on the show sheet when we get to those last couple of minutes, and you fire away as many things as you can. That's the way it goes sometimes.
Okay.
So, I mean, earlier in the show, I had to explain to him what the first four was in Dayton.
He still doesn't understand the first four.
He was
four.
Like, well, when is this tournament? He goes, so when does it start? Thursday? And I was like, well, no, actually, it starts tomorrow and then Wednesday.
I do have a question about that, though, too. Well, I've never understood since they introduced this, you know, this first four thing.
Yeah.
Why we have 11 seeds playing in it. I've never understood it. Like, to me, it should be the 16s and the 15s vying for the final four spots.
Right. But isn't it the final four at large bids? But
whatever. I understand what you're saying. But to me, if you're good enough to be an 11 seed, you should be in the field.
You guys ever hear of Mac Chick?
Yeah. Mac Chick?
Matt Schick.
Schick. No.
Matt
Not
Schick.
Not familiar with Matt
Don't
Schick.
Say that too fast too many times.
Matt Schick works for ESPN, and he put this out, and I want to give him credit for it.
Okay.
Okay, according to the committee, because we've been talking a lot about the committee, the vice chair to chair. Yeah, I don't know if you knew this. Yeah. The chairman's from North Carolina. According to the committee, North Carolina was officially the last team in the field.
Yeah.
Now, of the latest bracket matrix...
Matrix?
They got a matrix going.
Not metrics.
Does he
matrix.
Talk about the WAB?
No, he doesn't talk about the WAB. He just talks about the matrix. And he says, featuring 111 bracketologists.
Oh, God.
There are actually people walking around as bracketologists, I guess.
I didn't know there were 111 of them. But
Joe Lenardi is a bracketologist.
I know about one or two of them.
All right. West Virginia was in on all 111 brackets.
This is what I'm telling
within
you.
Within the matrix.
This is what I'm telling you.
Indiana was in 90 of them.
Uh-huh. How many North Carolina
in? I'm getting there.
Uh-huh.
Texas was on was in 50 of them.
Right.
Xavier out of Cincinnati, mm-hmm. by the way, not Xavier, Xavier.
Xavier.
30 was in on 30. North Carolina was in on 27.
Mm. Right.
And then he ends it up with, for what it's worth.
And yeah, you know, for what it's worth.
Says
worth.
What
yeah.
it's worth, there's yeah. no way that he agrees with
bias
the hell.
Treatment is what it's worth. And the WOB.
Matt Schick.
What is WOB?
I don't know. You're the one reading all this stuff. It's called
Wins, reading a
Wins Above the Bubble. I swear to God.
Oh, man.
I'm not making that up.
The bubble?
Wins Above the Bubble.
That's funny.
I guess they have to come up with all these acronyms.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I was listening to an expert. Well, you know, they're WOB. I'm like, is this real right now? Yeah, it's real. That is.
It sounds like one of the things that G might have got Beningo on back in the
yes.
day.
Yes.
Well, let's see if we
not
can flip one by Joe.
WOB.
Yeah, right. All right, so beyond the first four, you know, locally, obviously you guys have touched on St. John's. We'll get to that in a sec. You've got Yale playing Thursday against Texas A&M. That'll be played in Denver. Also keep an eye on...
Yale's going to Denver, Colorado.
Jesus.
And there, that's the South region.
Oh,
Boomer.
Man. So, yes. James Jones, head coach, by
Yale's
way.
Got that lefty kid that was shooting threes from all
right?
over the place.
Yeah? Okay.
You didn't see him?
Sure.
It looked like a Yale kid.
And did I hear it right? Kansas has made the tournament 35 straight years.
That
Is
sounds
that
about
true?
Right. Yeah.
Damn.
Sure. And they will play
Jared,
Arkansas.
Like don't they play like a Naismith gym or something?
35 straight years, though. Never a hiccup. That's impressive.
Yeah. So that'll be Kansas-Arkansas, the 7-10 matchup. That is prior to the St. John's game, Thursday night in Providence. And then that'll be the second round matchup. Should the Johnnies right. get through Omaha, you'd have the winner of the Arkansas-Kansas game. So some storylines there. Obviously, if it's Arkansas, you've got the John Calipari
I thought
angle.
For sure when they were doing this, when they had... I think it was Louisville the 7-10 game. I thought St. John's was going to be the two and that
okay.
on that side of the draw because I figured you'd get a Louisville Patino game round two. I was wrong.
Yes. Well, you'll have the you
that's
know
that's not a part of the matrix, Jerry.
The apparently
matrix,
not.
Yeah, all right.
No.
Friday night late in Raleigh, Boomer West region, but in Raleigh for the first couple of rounds.
Yeah.
You got UConn, Oklahoma. So that covers the locals. Now back to Saturday night at the Garden. It did turn into a second half party for St. John's.
Out top okay. Scott for three. Perfect again, Aaron Scott. And now St. John's a depth from three as they go at 68-55.
There's the Mink Man.
No one having more fun than him right now.
I mean, what are they have? 14 straight field goals in the second half?
Unbelievable.
One point in that game?
Well, you don't think Brandon Tierney's having fun?
Oh, he's
not as much
fun.
As Minko.
I don't know. Brandon Tierney came in here the other day. I mean, chest pumped out, all pumped up.
Brandon loves this.
So Brandon has your face off.
Yes, all true. But Brandon's got a daily radio show. This is Mink's life right now.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I mean.
That's very true. 82-66 over Creighton to capture their first Big East tournament title in 25 years. As R.J. Lewis had all but two of his 29 points after the break. And then Rick Pitino having a blast of the aftermath on Fox. One-on-one with Gus Johnson here.
When did you know that this team was special?
About 10 minutes ago.
So poking fun at his guys, which he's done a few times along the way. Good natured, of course. And then later on with the full panel.
How do you celebrate tonight?
I'm going to drink a quart of Jameson's.
There you go. Sounds about right, you know? So he's excited for his team as they finish up 30-4 regular season and Big East tournament. We'll see what they can do against Omaha Thursday night in
Amazing
Providence.
Amazing what you can do when you got the right guy.
100%.
Just get the right guy, no matter what sport it is.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a little bit easier, I think, in college basketball just simply because of the transfer portal and what you need is money. And Mike Rapoli has done that.
Yep.
And they invested in the guy that they knew that could bring good basketball players here and turn them into just like, you know, as Tommy Lugauer liked to say,
dudes, dogs,
yeah. and damage.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what St. John's does. Mm. The Knicks don't do that.
No.
That's what St. John's
I
does.
I do think it's a little disingenuous when he talks about it's not about NIL money. When
it is.
It's a huge part of it. But to his credit, you got to find the right guys that are going to fit.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, years ago, teams would spend a lot of money in free agency. We talk about the Yankees all the time. A lot of teams would spend, but they did not get the right collection of guys. St. John's found the right collection of guys.
I don't know the answer to this. Is R.J. Lewis a big NIL guy? No, he's a transfer.
From what I read, he's not.
So, you know.
Yeah, but you've also got big.
Other guys, yeah.
I mean, Kadari Richmond came to St. John's, as Pitino said, because they outspent
yes.
Seton Hall and put Seton Hall in a spot where they couldn't match it.
Some of them,
that sucks.
Yes. But he's the Big East tournament MVP. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's so a big part of
something
it.
Something to say for that as well.
For
all right,
sure.
Baseball-wise, opening day starters, Carlos Rodon for the Yankees and Clay Holmes for the Mets. If I could take you back to the night the Yankees lost the World Series and told you that a bearded Clay Holmes would be starting opening day for the Mets, we've come a long way in just a few short months, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, with all these injuries that these teams are dealing with.
Clark Schmidt,
I'm just getting to that. Yes.
No, it doesn't, actually.
Clark Schmidt scratched from his start today, dealing with some shoulder soreness. So he's going to have a bullpen session instead of facing the Blue Jays. And as Aaron Boone described it, Schmidt is, quote, not getting all the way back to how he normally would. So
that's not good.
Great.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole,
that's
Luis
been a good
Heel,
spring for the Yankees,
Clark
injury-wise,
no,
at all.
No, it's not. Dave Sims and Susan Waldman called games all weekend here on The Fan. An early feel for Dave is Yankees play-by-play man from yesterday's action.
Swung on, deep drive right field. That is gone. Dom Smith, everybody, way back, about 15 rows. A home run for Dom, his third of the year. And RBI number 12, no doubt about it.
There you go. Little Dom Smith home run from Dave Sims as the Yankees split the squad
around.
Yesterday.
He is.
Hanging around. He may end up, you know, on the opening day roster for the Yankees the way things are going. Need somebody to fill that DH slot without Giancarlo Stanton.
Things are not looking good for the Yankees right now.
No, they're not. There's no other way around that. Speaking of not looking good, Mookie Betts flew to Japan with the Dodgers for this Tokyo series.
Did he lose weight or something?
Yeah, he's sick. He had flu-like symptoms when they left Arizona, and they were hoping it would go away. It did not. He's down 15 pounds, is not going to play in these two games, and may get sent home early ahead of the rest of the team so he can get himself ready for the domestic opener, which is later on in March.
I would have flu-like symptoms. It was amazing. I was told by a friend of mine last week that she and her family all went out to Arizona, rented a house, and her husband got really, really sick, and they weren't sure what it was. It got up to like 105 fever.
Mm.
And, you know, he was achy, tired, wanted a lot of water. Finally, after about 4 days, they figured out it was Legionnaire's disease.
Woo-hoo.
And, you know, bacterial infection, had to go on high doses of antibiotics.
Mm.
And sometimes they say flu-like symptoms, but they never really tell you. But he was in Scottsdale 3 weeks ago.
And maybe that's what Mookie's dealing with.
Who knows? We'll tell you,
they
though.
Train in Arizona.
There's nothing worse than go to the doctor when you have flu-like symptoms. You're like, just hydrate and you'll be okay.
Nothing
you
we can
a
do
lot
for
of rest. Like, that's it?
This guy's fever just kept going and going
and going.
It's
scary.
And it wouldn't stop until they finally, somebody said, you know, maybe it's Legionnaire's disease. Let's take a look at that. Wow.
Well, he was over there and they tried to have him work out yesterday and he got tired quickly and they shut him down. So we'll see what happens there. They've got a two-game series. Tomorrow is game one at the Tokyo Dome, and then they play a second game against the Cubs on Wednesday.
Games count.
They count.
Yeah.
Two. Then they come back. I think they have a couple other exhibition games, and then they'll resume. Yeah.
They got more exhibition games after starting the season in Japan.
That happens when teams go overseas.
I know
come
it
back
does, but it doesn't seem right to me, but whatever.
All right, then.
Joey
Gallo, cut by the White Sox, has decided he's done as a hitter and is now going to try pitching at the age of 31. So let's see how that works out for
him.
If
he's got an arm, what the hell?
Well, yeah, he definitely had an arm.
He
was, I think, a two-time gold glove winner out in the outfield.
Did he like pitch in high school or college? He's got to have done
somewhere
along the
probably.
Way, right?
Yeah. Didn't work out so great as a hitter these last couple of years, especially when he came to the Yankees. But that's another story. Nets beat the Hawks in Brooklyn 122-114. The Knicks are back from what was a 2-3 West Coast road trip. They'll host Miami tonight. Then they go back on the road, San Antonio and Charlotte.
This is the stretch we were talking about.
Yeah, and this West Coast trip, this whole thing has not worked out well for them.
No, we're going to talk about this whole thing at some point.
Injuries and everything else.
Well, the Draymond Green stuff was not great the other night.
No, it's not.
We'll get to that later.
I said to you, hey, maybe they'll, you know, galvanize and come together. Not so much.
But it is tough. I mean, Miami tonight, fine. But then and again, they should win these games. But you're still away from home. And it's been a little bit of a rough stretch. And Brunson out another couple weeks, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like end of March at the earliest, maybe, if not a little bit later. All right, so you guys will do the Knicks stuff, and you'll get into the Tibbs-Josh Hart exchange. All right, so I can save that for another hour.
We're going to have him on his podcast
already
talk it over.
Good. Rangers on a back-to-back after I thought their best win of the year Saturday in Columbus.
Well, they had a couple of shutouts prior to that were very good games.
I think, though, the final score, the team they were playing, and just the overall brand
of
hockey
game,
that they played.
I saw you on Twitter. Or an X, I should say.
Okay.
Posting on X. I saw it.
Yeah. Well, That was my thoughts. Do that sometimes as well.
Every now and again, yeah.
Yes, but then they turn around last night and, like you said, got skinnered. Stuart Skinner. So they lose 3-1 to the Oilers. Meantime, the Islanders, they were down 2-0 going into the third against the Panthers. They ripped off 4 in answer to beat Florida 4-2. Noah Dobson at the go-ahead goal tonight.
Hey, they're still in it. Still in it.
A lot of teams are still in it. Detroit won yesterday. They're in it. Columbus is in it. Montreal's in it. So it's a big jumbled mess there for that second wild card in the East.
All right, Chris, thanks very much.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 888-808-1019 is the number. It is Boomer and Geo on this Monday morning. A lot with the NCAA tournament, the selection from last night. We will get to the Knicks and the football as well coming up throughout the course of the morning. Some baseball notes also. But I did watch. So I watched the selection show last night on CBS at 6 o'clock after all the conference tournaments were over, like many people did. And then after that ended, 60 Minutes came on. And we don't need to have this monster discussion about it, but there were some eye-opening things that were said during this. And I only bring it up because this has been a topic on this show for the last several months, maybe even the last year or so. And it was about the drones that had been flying all over the sky, specifically over the air bases and the military sites. And I will tell you, watching it and listening to the retired generals and the people that they spoke to, it was one of the more concerning episodes I saw because they continue to not really give you answers while giving you answers. And it's almost as if there was one question where, and I forget who the host was, where he says to, I think it was the retired general, it appears to me, like you can, can't you gather that these are our adversaries spying on us? And the answer was, seems like a rational answer. What? So, whether they're UFOs, drones, people are saying that they were, you know, hobbyist drones. The idea that these are drones flown by other countries over our air bases and military sites, a little concerning.
Yeah, it's very concerning, and I understand why you would say that, but I would tell you that our enemies are already within us. They're already here, and they have been arriving, and we're trying to do everything I think we can to get rid of them, but it wouldn't be so hard for somebody to come in here, buy a drone, and fly it over an army base that, you know, shouldn't be here in the first place, and that they're doing it.
But the idea, and I understand why, the idea that they can't shoot them down makes total sense. But I can't. They said they're within a year, they believe, of being able to get them out of the sky without shooting them down. That's a lot of time, though, still.
I would think that the real question is, are they all connected to each other, or are they all just individual people flying these drones? Or is there a uniformity to them?
Well, China. There was a piece that showed, Al, do you remember the warship? Well, I shouldn't say a warship, but the naval vessel. What country did they believe that it was from? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
But it was this the mothership thing that you were talking about?
Similar to that.
It's where they believe that they first came from. They don't know, and they certainly didn't tell us this, but they had a photo of it. And they also had a guy, and this is where the piece started. They had a guy who lived across from, do you remember which air base it was?
No, it was in Virginia, I believe.
Yeah, I forget.
Langley?
Maybe. What's the matter?
We got a lot of filling in the blanks here.
Well, because I'm trying to remember as we're talking about it. And it was only 7 minutes, but there was a lot of information in it. And this guy had, you know, one of the things we've talked about for the last year since all this stuff started was, how come we don't have really good video? And then video started popping
up.
Because
we didn't have really good people running the government actually looking for things like this.
Well, I was talking about the citizens that, you know, everyone claims they see stuff, but we didn't have, everybody's got a phone on them. So this guy was shooting video like nightly and daily and has a lot of footage of these things just hovering over the base. And it's just, I don't know. The whole thing was bizarre in that it seems like they have an idea of what it is, but it's almost as if their hands are tied in terms of what they can do about it.
But we still don't have total answers. Like you came away from that with more questions than answers.
Yes, but a little clearer than I was before.
Or you're more nervous now.
Yes, I think that's a better way
listening
to put it.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully somebody's, you know, got their finger on the pulse and paying attention as opposed to, you know, basically doing nothing about anything.
A lot more. The one thing I did come away with it from, though, is it doesn't appear, a lot of people have thought that they were UFOs and aliens. It doesn't appear that. These really do appear to be drones. And the one thing that one of the retired generals did confirm was some of these are the size of cars. Like, yeah, that's how big they are.
Could they be Starlink, you know, satellites?
that from us?
Yes.
Well, then why wouldn't you just say that?
Well,
then?
I mean,
like, well, a piece like that can cause panic.
Starlink is Elon Musk, so he's, you know, that's this satellite internet.
But
connection.
Why not say that then?
I don't know why. I have no idea. I mean, that I'm assuming that there are people that now are paying attention to what's going on. It's not just the average person in the street.
No, I would think a lot of people are paying
attention.
You'd like
to think that, you know, whoever runs that part of the government is awake and paying attention and trying to figure out what it is. And maybe if they know what it is, they're going to do something about it relatively soon, or maybe something has already been done about it and we don't know about it.
It is pretty crazy. And then he did say that there is additional information on 60 Minutes Plus,
okay,
which you can get on the Paramount Plus app or on YouTube, which I will watch at some point this morning just because I did find it very interesting. So anyhow, I know a lot of people are interested in that. I would suggest watching the piece if you get it. It's only 7 or 8 minutes. Just watch it. And I think you will have more questions than answers. And you might come away with it a little bit more nervous than you were. But maybe the picture a little bit clearer. So that's our public service announcement for today. When we come back, CeeLo brought up Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
Yes, he did.
And to me, there's a lot more there in terms of how you build an NFL team. Also, a couple of minutes on the Giants situation, because I cannot believe that we are sitting here on Monday and not much has changed from Friday, although maybe some has.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.